our scripture reading this morning, we're reading from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, as we begin to look at a series of messages concerning prayer and its necessity, its essence, its acceptability, and its component parts, which will be a discussion or an examination of Matthew chapter 6 and the Lord's Prayer. Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 1, verses 1 through 13. Hear the word of God. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." He said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So I've read Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Prayer is one of the most important activity of the Christian life, and yet it is one of the most neglected. There are many excuses or reasons offered up for not praying. Is it because we have become so self-sufficient and complacent that we have forgotten from whose hand we have received all that we possess? Or is it because prayer is just a religious thing and you pride yourself in not being a religious person? Or is it because prayer seems to be a waste of time, either believing that God will not hear our prayers on the one hand, or on the other hand, action is needed, not prayer? So though you say you're a Christian, but in your actions you are really just another unbelieving humanist in sheep's clothing, who puts his trust and strength in himself, or you have a terrible misconception of what prayer is. And then we have the other side of the coin of unbelief. There are some Christians who believe that prayer is such a sacred activity that if they say the wrong thing, the wrath of God would immediately pour down upon them. They seem to think that they can only pray prayers that are prepackaged and approved by the higher ups. In the Reformed faith, there are some who think that because God is in control of all things, there's no need to pray. What will happen, and we can't do anything about it. That excuse tells us the person has a wrong understanding of what prayer is. And then there are some Christians that will pray privately, but when asked to pray publicly, they would break out in a cold sweat and act as though they have been just asked to jump off a bridge to their death or cut off their right arm. But none of these are valid grounds for a Christian to not pray, whether privately or publicly. So you see, there are all kinds of reasons to excuse ourselves from praying, much less praying every day. The Scripture teaches us differently. Not only does Scripture teach us differently, but our consciences ought to lead us to prayer continually. Drive us to prayer continually, especially in light of what is required of us in the law of God or the Ten Commandments, and our inability to perfectly and completely do that which is required of us. The Heidelberg Catechism makes this point quite clear. Catechism number 115 asks, "Why then does God so strictly enjoin the Ten Commandments upon us, since in this life no one can keep them?" The fact that we know that we cannot in this life keep the Ten Commandments ought to drive us to prayer under the burden of knowing the greatness of our sin. This fact ought to be continually before us every day, throughout the day, as we go about our business. However, that does not mean that we ought to fall into despair and hopelessness, but rather remember the answer to that catechism question, which reads, quote, "First, that as long as we live, we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and so the more earnestly seek forgiveness of sins and righteousness in Christ. Second, that without ceasing, we diligently ask God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we be renewed more and more after the image of God, until we attain the goal of perfection after this life." From this catechism, we learn there are two responses that we are to have as we come to realize that we fail miserably in keeping the commandments of God as He requires of us. First, we are to more and more earnestly seek the forgiveness of sins and righteousness in Christ. And then we are to diligently ask God for grace of the Holy Spirit to renew us more and more after the image of God, until we attain the goal of perfection in the life to come. Whether it is earnestly seeking or diligently asking, in either case, prayer is the means or instrument that is used. Thus we see that after obtaining a proper understanding of what is required of us by God, as He has revealed in His Word, and more specifically in the Ten Commandments, prayer naturally follows. Which is also the way in which the Heidelberg Catechism has been structured in teaching us how we are to live thankful lives. Under the third part of the Catechism, it gives an exposition of the topic of prayer after expounding upon the Ten Commandments. So we see prayer flows or ought to flow from a proper understanding of the lack of ability in man to keep the law as required by God. Indeed, we read in Galatians chapter 3 that the law brings us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. It brings us to Christ whereby we earnestly seek Him who paid for our sins on the cross and diligently ask God for grace by the Holy Spirit to renew us, which is to ask God for grace to repent of our sin so that we may be able to turn away from sin more and more and turn toward Christ by conforming our lives in the renewing of our minds to live more and more in submission to that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We also see this principle in Romans chapter 7 where, as the Apostle Paul, even as a believer in Christ, struggled with sin the more he considered the law of God, which drove him to exclaim in verses 24 and 25, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." So we see that for the Christian, prayer is a vitally important part of his or her daily life. Even for the unbeliever coming to Christ by true faith and in true repentance of sin, it is the means used to initially express faith and the broken and contrite heart. It's with this understanding that, Lord willing, over the next several weeks, we'll embark upon a series of messages that will hopefully build our confidence with a biblical understanding of prayer and thereby be an encouragement to others as Christians to pray more earnestly and more diligently. In a series of 14 messages, we'll consider the topic of prayer in four parts. First, its necessity, addressing the question, Why is prayer necessary for Christians, which we'll consider today? Second, its essence, focusing on what prayer is. Third, its acceptability, answering the question, what is acceptable prayer and what's not? And then fourth, its components, which is the application of what is taught in the previous three parts, answering the question, how are we then to pray? The fourth part is where we'll spend most of our time as we work through the Lord's Prayer as presented by Christ in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. This week we'll look at the necessity of prayer, which I mentioned, which we also touched upon in the introduction of this sermon. This part of our discussion on prayer consists basically of four reasons as to why it is necessary to pray, especially for the Christian. First, it is commanded by God. Second, our own dependence upon God necessitates prayer. Our own want, our own necessities of both body and soul. Third, the necessity of giving thanks as it relates to prayer. And then fourth, it is required of God as the means of asking Him for His grace and Holy Spirit. The first reason it is necessary for us to pray is because we are commanded by God to pray. In Psalm 50, verse 15, we are told to call upon the Lord when we find ourselves in times of trouble. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus tells the multitude and us also, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Later, he repeats this command to his disciples, which is recorded in Luke chapter 11, the passage we read this morning for our scripture reading. And then at the end of His earthly ministry, Jesus reinforces the command to pray to His disciples. He reinforces this to His disciples to pray in John 16, 24, where He tells them and us also that if we want the fullness of joy, we must pray. The Lord, through the apostles and other writers of the New Testament, also reminds us that He requires us to pray. In Ephesians, in the spiritual battles that we fight, we are told in chapter 6, verse 18, that we are to pray, not just for ourselves, but for others also. In Philippians 4, 6, we are told that instead of being anxious about anything, we are in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make our requests known to God. In James 5, 16, we are commanded again to pray for one another. In 1 John 5, 14 and 15, we are told that we are to pray according to the will of God. And then finally, we are told in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, that we are to pray without ceasing. As we look at these verses, and there are many other verses in God's Word, is there any doubt that we are commanded by God to pray? The second reason it is necessary for us to pray is because of our dependency upon the Lord for all things necessary for body and soul. In the introduction to this message, our spiritual need driving us to prayer was mentioned. But the necessity of prayer is both spiritual and material. As creatures made in the image of God, we are totally dependent upon God for all things. James, in his epistle, hints at this when he says of those to whom he was writing specifically, and to us generally, that they did not have anything because they did not ask it of the Lord. Other passages of Scripture make this truth even clearer. We are dependent upon the Lord for our life, even every breath we take, as we see from Psalm 104, verse 29. We read, quote, "You hide your faith. Your face, you hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to dust." End quote. In Job 12:10, we learn that, quote, "The life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind are in the hand of God." And the Apostle Paul, in preaching the gospel on Mars Hill to a group of idol worshipers, told them that the unknown God to which they had erected a monument gives to all life, breath, and all things. Beloved, we are dependent upon God for all things, for our food and drink, for our health, for our wealth, for lack thereof. Proverbs 22:2 tells us that He has made some people rich, and He's also made some people poor. We are at His will. We are dependent upon Him for all things. Even in the preaching of the gospel, one person sows, another waters. But it is God who causes the increase. The same principle applies to growing crops for food. Ask any farmer if this is not true. I was out in the Midwest for many, many years, and in Eureka, South Dakota, before I came here, where I pastored the church there and for 7 years. The main topic of discussion is the weather. They depend upon the weather. They depend on God to not just grow it, but to provide the water. He brings the rain. There's no irrigation system. There's no sprinkler system. So they depend upon Him completely. They sow the grain. They sow the seeds. But He's the one that causes the crops to grow. Indeed, He's the one that waters the crops. So we see from Scripture that we are dependent upon God for all things. The Lord requires that we ask of Him the blessings that are needed for body and soul, because by doing so, we also acknowledge our dependence upon Him. In commenting on Heidelberg Catechism 116, your Zionist writes, quote, "We do not obtain the blessings which are necessary for us except we ask them at the hands of God, for He has promised them to none but such as ask." And then he goes on to observe that prayer is, quote, "just as necessary for us as it is for a beggar asking for alms," end quote. Indeed, do we not learn from Romans 10:36 that all things are of the Lord and through Him? Indeed, all things were created through Christ and for Him, and in Christ all things consist, as we see from Colossians chapter 1. In fact, this truth is repeated throughout Scripture, where it says all things belong to God. In the outline, I've listed several references for you to look at throughout this week. Deuteronomy 10:14, Job 41:11, and Psalm 50:12. And there's many others that indicate to us or tell us that God, all things belong to God, especially as since He is the Creator of all things. Thus, we must humbly ask of God in prayer what belongs to Him, whatever it may be. And though we learn from Matthew chapter 6 that God knows what we need, it is nonetheless necessary that we ask it of God. As beggars asking for alms from Him, to whom all things belong. Thus prayer is necessary, because we are in need of Him giving us whatever it is that we have need of. Especially because of sin, we are in need of Him giving us the spiritual needs of grace and the Holy Spirit. Because, as the Catechism teaches us from Scripture, all things come not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. Third reason as to why we are to pray is because of the necessity of giving thanks, which is a necessary part of prayer. In 1 Thessalonians, we learn that not only are we commanded to pray without ceasing, but in the next verse, verse 18 of chapter 5, we are told, quote, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you," end quote. The giving of thanks is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. It is a necessary part of our Christian life, no matter where we are, in church, at home, in the workplace, at school, in our conversations with relatives, friends, or business associates. This connection between prayer and the giving of thanks is more clearly seen in Philippians 4:6, where we learn that We are to go to God with our requests and prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thus we see in asking God for our needs, it is necessary that we also render thanks to Him for hearing and answering our prayers. Further, without giving of thanks, we lose those things which are given and do not receive those things which are necessary and should be given. For example, those who do not seek or desire faith will neither have it kindled nor increased in them. It is the unthankful ingrate who is without faith, as we learn from Romans chapter 1. However, those who are blessed with faith have tasted the goodness and the grace of God, and those who have tasted of God's goodness and grace will show themselves thankful to God for His blessings and desire it more and more. Did not the disciples, having tasted God's blessing of faith, ask the Lord to increase their faith in Luke 17:5? And the man in Mark 6:24 cried out with tears to Christ, saying, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Having the blessing of faith in both of these cases, more faith was desired. Not from an ungrateful heart, but rather with thankfulness for what they had already received. Being thankful, they desired more faith. Thus we see the necessity of giving thanks, which is required of God, and is expressed as an inseparable part of prayer, thereby making prayer necessary, especially for the Christian who professes faith in Jesus Christ. Indeed, in the Heidelberg Catechism, we are taught in the answer to question 116 that prayer is a chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. The fourth and final reason prayer is necessary is because the Holy Spirit is also obtained by prayer. For He is given to none except those who seek and desire Him. Christ said in Luke 11:13, quote, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" End quote. We read that this morning in our scripture reading. The Father will not deny the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks of Him for Him. We also see in Ephesians 5:18 that we as Christians are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit by means of prayer. Right about now, you might be asking yourself, are we not given the Holy Spirit at the time of our new birth so that we might be able to believe and repent from our sins, without which we would not be able to do either one of those? And the answer is an unqualified yes. We are. However, through the Holy Spirit, though the Holy Spirit is given to us initially by grace in the hearing of the gospel so that we are able to understand the salvation that is by grace alone, through faith alone, the requirement to ask for the Holy Spirit of which is being taught here is a request by those who have been renewed and regenerated by the Holy Spirit, which is an acknowledgement of their dependence upon the Holy Spirit to uphold them in faith in Jesus Christ, just as we read in the 51st Psalm, verse 12, where David prays to the Lord, quote, "Uphold me by your generous spirit," end quote. Further, from Romans chapter 8, we need to ask the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us when we do not know what to ask of God. Thus we see that we are required to ask for the Holy Spirit in our daily walk, and the means by which we do so is prayer. Thereby, we see the necessity of prayer because we are required to ask of God for the Holy Spirit to uphold us and keep us in Christ, to increase our faith, if you will. Having considered the four reasons for the necessity of prayer, we must not see prayer as an ancillary or unnecessary activity, nor that prayer is something that is optional for the Christians. Prayer is commanded by God. Our own want and necessity of life, our own dependence upon God requires us to pray. The requirement to give thanks and to ask for the Holy Spirit also makes prayer necessary in the Christian life. The necessity of prayer is quite clear, as we have learned today from our look at God's Word and as it is expressed in the Heidelberg Catechism. So So let us, beloved in the Lord, ask ourselves, is how we live our lives and our daily walk as we carry out our various activities and tasks throughout the week, reflecting this sense of necessity to pray? Do we pray as one who seeks and desires from the Lord all things that are necessary in this life, both of a physical and spiritual nature, giving thanks to Him and desiring to be more and more upheld by the Holy Spirit and faith increased? Or does our life reflect one who does not see the necessity of prayer, such as the unbeliever, the unthankful, and the self-sufficient humanist or atheist? I believe that at one point or another in each of our lives, we have reflected to a certain degree both attitudes toward prayer. I know I have. Therefore, let us, as those who are in Christ by faith, be ever vigilant to be diligent in prayer, so that our lives are lived consistently and constantly in such a manner that reflects more and more a desire to seek the Lord, asking for grace and the Holy Spirit, so that our faith may also be increased and strengthened, our lives become more and more conformed to the image of Christ, and a clear testimony is seen by others of His grace at work in us by the Holy Spirit to the glory of God. Let us remember that just as it is necessary to come by faith and prayer to Jesus Christ for salvation, resting in the one atoning work on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and everlasting life by His resurrection, so also it is necessary as believers in Christ, like beggars asking for alms, to continue in prayer all the days of our lives, crying out to Him in times of trouble, asking Him for grace and the Holy Spirit to endure the trials and tribulations encountered in this life, looking to Him for all things needful for body and soul, and then giving thanks to Him for giving us all the blessings we have received from His fatherly hand to His praise and glory. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, indeed, we give thanks to You. As we have learned from Your Word the necessity of prayer, we come to You with humbled hearts. Lord, knowing that we are dependent upon You for all things, both in body and soul, we know that we are commanded of You. But more than that, our conscience drives us to pray because we know that even the requirement of prayer is something that we lack and we fail in. So, Lord, we come to You knowing that this is an area that we need to improve upon. So we ask that, Lord, that You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, that all the days of our lives, not just today, but every day, whether we are in the workplace or at school or in the business or even at home, Lord, that we would have that sense of necessity of prayer. Forgive us of our sins, O Lord. Forgive us when we do fail to pray, to seek You, to desire to know You, to seek Your grace in times of trouble. We know that You will forgive us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness as we confess our sins to You. So, Lord, we rejoice and give thanks to You for what You have taught us this morning. Help us to be encouraged that we be built up and strengthened in Your Word each and every day, that we may live daily praying without ceasing, always conscious of our need to pray. We ask these things in Christ Jesus' most precious name. Amen.